Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. TIFF is one of the world's biggest film festivals where independent filmmakers from around the world show their latest work. Young actors give breakaway performances and forgotten names try for their big comeback. Celebrities, publicists, the press, and the autograph seekers live in a weird symbiotic relationship. And movie lovers, well, it's a chance to see the best new movies of the year before they're released. But what's it like during a pandemic when people are still tiptoeing around? How is TIFF right now? What is working? What isn't? What's surprising? And what movies are good, bad, or indifferent? Well, to help me answer some of these questions and many more, I'm discussing this year's film festival with a longtime collaborator on the show, marking his fifth time here. Jeff Harris is an award-winning photographer and a freelance journalist who for 20 years has been covering TIFF for Maclean's and The Walrus, among others. Next week, he's launching TIFF Talk, that's T-O-K, on TikTok, of course, reviewing 30 films in 30 days. And I'm very pleased to have Jeff here with me to tell us more about this year's TIFF. Hi, Jeff. Great to see you again. Thanks so much for coming in. So, Jeff, TIFF is normally known for its crowds, its celebrities, and the interest they generate in their newest movies. What was it like this year?
Well, for me, this is officially my first time doing regular things in society again. Going on opening night, I went to the film Dear Evan Hansen, and there was probably 20% capacity in the theater, which was completely strange. I will say that the audience response was so enthusiastic because we were all so happy to be there that it felt still like there was 100% of a room, but it was very sparse and very socially distant.
Yeah, more than one director has talked about the noisy, enthusiastic audiences and packed houses at TIFF, but this year, because of the physical distancing, sellout halls weren't there. They weren't packed. They couldn't be packed. Talk about the arrangements they've been doing. When you hear this, there's still one day left of the festival. So just so people understand what it's like to see a movie in person.
Well, even just buying tickets through Ticketmaster, as soon as you buy one or two or three tickets, then there's going to be space between you and the next person. So you're never sitting right beside people. The entire audience is documented so that if something were to come out a few days later, there'd be contact tracing. So it was all very logical and made going to the cinema easy in terms of no lineups, no crowds. You still get to see the films.
Right, and your ticket has your exact seat number on it. So everyone knows where they're going to be, and there'll be no one in front of you and no one either side and no one directly behind you. So they have this sort of bubble around you so you won't be breathing on anyone else. They also ban popcorn, drinks, everything else is sitting in the masks for the entire movie, which is not how it is in the normal movie theaters now, but TIFF was extra careful. One thing I did notice, they seem to go a little bit overboard at times, at the Princess of Wales Theater, I felt like it was 9/11 again. I think they got their crises confused because they were searching bags. What were they searching bags for? Bombs?
Well, they do
snacks?
That at Roy Thompson Hall as well. It's just theater policy.
But do they do that with all movies? And have they always done that?
For the last couple of years.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, that shows where I've been doing. But they certainly didn't do it at TIFF in the past.
No, they only do it at those two theaters. There's always something free that's given out during TIFF. And this year, it was a tiny box of chocolates. So I've been sort of accumulating them. As you leave a theater like Princess of Wales, you get a box of chocolates. And then I went back to the Princess of Wales and they searched my bag. And you're not allowed to have like food in the theater.
But even
like,
the ones that they were giving out of the door.
He gave me this.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, he let me go, but...
But with a warning.
Yeah, with a warning.
Don't defy him again. This is CIUT 89.5 FM and Daniel Garb of the Movies. I'm speaking with photographer and freelance journalist Jeff Harris about TIFF. Now, Let's dive right into the movies. Which movie did you find particularly good?
The actor that took me by surprise was Benedict Cumberbatch. Appears in two of probably my favorite films of the festival. He's in a film that's coming to Netflix later this season called Power of the Dog.
Power of the Dog, yeah. Australian movie, and, strangely enough.
Yeah. And then he's also in a movie called The Electric Life of Louis Wayne, about the French illustrator who is often attributed to like having a cat as a pet, a part of society, because before then they were felt like they were vermin.
So first let's talk about Power of the Dog. It was written and directed by Jane Campion, famous New Zealand director. And it takes place in Montana in the 1920s. So it's like a Western, but set in the 20th century, not the 19th century. And it's about two brothers, Phil and George Burbank, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, you're talking about, and I believe he's an Australian actor, Jesse Plemons. And
no,
how
he's American.
He's American, is he? Oh, okay. Sorry, I've never seen him before.
He's from Fargo.
Oh, okay. Then I have seen him before.
He's married to Kristen Dunst.
Who also plays a role. She plays Rose, who they end up being a couple. And then her character, Rose's son, a very sort of flamboyant, very delicate young man named Pete, played by Cody Smith McPhee. So tell me something about the movie. What did you like about it? What did you like about Cumberbatch's performance?
He plays the epitome of a toxic masculinity. He is abusive to, like, they're at a restaurant. He's abusive to the staff. He's very critical of the main boy's artistic side. And you just wonder, what the heck is this guy so...
Which is, no spoilers here, but that's one of the big revelations in the movie. I agree. The movie itself, though, was... I was expecting, a not very good Western, yet another Western. It was a totally different movie with lots of layers and dimension and very good acting. That's one to look out for, called The Power of the Dog. Now, you've already talked about Cumberbatch's other movie. Now let's talk about, what did you find the most fun, the most interesting?
A movie that caught me totally by surprise was up in the Midnight Madness category, which is often the quirkier and scarier things. It's a movie called Dash Cam, which is, shot just like it's alive on social media. They've just let it go, and you can see everyone commenting on the movie.
It's like Twitch. Where listeners are liking it, sending in money. So basically, it was directed by Rob Savage and co-produced by Jason Blum, or Bloom. And Blumhouse is known for the low-budget horror, especially found footage movies like this one. But this is like the ultimate found footage movie because it's so real. It's what people watch on their computer, their telephone, 24/7. So basically, Annie Hardy, she's a former rock star who played in the band Giant Drag. She plays this exaggerated version of herself who's constantly live online singing these ridiculously offensive songs so her followers will send her money and stuff. But he's broke, and while looking for a cheap job, she agrees for a wad of cash to take this old woman across town and drop her off.
Yeah, her name's Angela. She's unlike any horror movie character you've ever seen. She's almost like Jason or Freddy. She could have a new life if this movie catches on. It feels so much of now like a very COVID movie, watching people on social media being isolated and...
And while you're watching, especially if you see it, not in a movie theater screen, but you see it at home on your phone or computer, it's like you're there experiencing it, just like all the other listeners. And you see the number of viewers skyrockets whenever something especially horrible happens. I don't know. I thought that was a really good, really creative, super low budget movie. I like that one a lot. What about a movie that really disappointed you?
Well, so another movie that's almost... in the same genre of, COVID movies made with a limited cast in the past year and a half, was a movie that starred Naomi Watts called Lakewood. And I had high hopes for that because it was shot in Ontario, shot in North Bay, and she's a great actress. But yet, it's a film where it's on her the whole time. She's basically on her cell phone for the entire movie, and there's only so much, you know, you can look at someone talking on a cell phone. It's also very jumbly. She's jogging at the time, same time. So anyway, not a fan.
I totally agree. Naomi Watts, that was like, there's another one with Jeff Gyllenhaal called, is it called The Guilty or something like that? And they're both 90-minute movies, which is basically just one actor all by themselves shouting at a telephone with unseen voices behind it and saying, but the children, what about the children? Can't you save the children? And it's like 90 minutes of having people like panicking into a phone. And in the Lakewood, Naomi Watts is just running through a forest, tripping on a log. It was just like so unimaginative and tedious. And I think she's a great actress, but even so, that movie was, I consider it a real stinker. What movie really interests you or really surprised you?
I was blown away by Jessica Chastain's performance in The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Mm-hmm.
The attention to detail in that film is amazing. The wardrobe, the makeup. And you never think of Jessica Chastain when you're watching the performance. And I can contrast that with Kristen Stewart in the movie Spencer, where she plays Lady Diana. And the whole time you're like, I'm watching Kristen Stewart. But with Jessica Chastain and Tammy Faye, she blended right in.
Whenever you have a famous, especially a beautiful actress, and they start putting prosthetic stuff all over their face to make them look weird and ugly, that's pure Oscar bait. They're trying to say, no, I'm not beautiful. Look, I can play someone who's ugly. And there are lots of cases of it, and they usually do win. So we will find out. And I can't make any judgment on it yet, but I am looking forward to seeing this one. What is it about?
You know, it's the true life story of her marriage with Jim Baker and the scandals that they were in the late 80s, early 90s.
They were tele-preachers.
Yes.
Yeah.
They in mega churches. The PTL club.
Yes, pray the Lord. Yeah.
That I grew up in that era, and it's fascinating watching a film that I was sort of witness to the history of at the time. So it sends you back nostalgically to the 80s and 90s.
And I think you mentioned to me before we started the recording, there's one other movie you quite enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. I loved the opening film, Dear Evan Hansen.
Dear Evan Hansen. I liked it, too. I liked that a lot, too. It's based on the Broadway musical and starring the same actor, Ben Platt, who I didn't realize he has a really, really good voice.
Oh, he's amazing.
Is he a tenor? He has this like beautiful, pure voice.
He's so good also on The Politician on Netflix.
Right, but he doesn't sing on that. That's why I thought, okay, he's a good actor, but in this one, he's a great voice. Actually, all the main, they're obviously cast for that, but all the main singing characters have great voices.
I've seen a lot of people online say how surprised they are by Caitlin Dever's voice. So, yeah, you're
right. That's right. That's right.
Across the board, Julianne Moore even, great singing. But after a year and a half of us being cordoned off in our apartments, here's this film that talks about social media and the isolation that teens go through. So it was a perfect film on that level to open the festival, and also just the joyous music of it. It was a great celebratory kickoff to TIFF.
Although for a joyous movie, that is the saddest joyous movie. The entire movie was a tearjerker. Every single scene was sadder than one before, but in a very, like a purgatory, like where you're purged.
Cathartic,
right, yeah. By all the crying, all the sadness going on. But it was, I thought it was very moving, very, very good movie.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking with me, Jeff. I've been speaking with Jeff Harris about TIFF, and look out for TIFF Talk on TikTok, covering 30 TIFF movies in 30 days, and TIFF will continue through this evening. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Daniel.
This is Daniel Garber, the movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com. But don't go away. You can hear the rest of this conversation online. So picking up where we left off, one thing I found missing this year from TIFF, and of course I understand why, but it was the near total absence of parties, receptions, cocktails, breakfast and get-togethers. Basically, anything with big groups was avoided. There was one exception. That was the Big Splash party sponsored by Joshua Jackson and his new venture called the Liquid Media Group, which I think operates out of LA. So walking, what were your impressions of walking into a party with full of people? I mean, they checked everyone's vaccination certificates and stuff, but what was it like being there?
Well, this was the first time at TIFF that we were allowed to take our masks off. So that was super strange. It felt like we were being transported 2 years back in time.
Yeah, it was like an episode of Black Mirror, Twilight Zone. All of a sudden, yeah, we woke up 2 years ago where no one had ever heard of the virus. But everyone sort of had in the back of their mind, because everyone is like, the women are wearing evening gowns, but they look uncomfortable just slightly, but also, I'm free, like for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah, almost feels like being naked or something.
Yeah, almost. And they had food, and they had an open bar, and they had a DJ, and all this stuff going on. It just, that hasn't happened in Toronto in 2 years.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
Hopefully this is a sign of how you can congregate, and with, you know, checking out double vaccinations and keeping in mind social distancing, you know, this could be normal life again soon.
How about experiences with celebrities? Did you come in contact with any celebrities?
No, normally I would say, you know, one out of two or one out of three films I'm at, there's a Q&A with this talent, director, celebrity. I think I saw two Q&As this whole time. I've been to about 30 movies. So it was very strange. There's been a lot of pre-recorded Q&As, which actually weren't so bad, where they've, you know, projected on the screen sort of a Zoom call. But yeah, that's been missing for sure.
The one place I did see it was at the Cinesphere when they play, it was the North American premiere of Dune. It was directed by Denis Villeneuve, the famous Quebec director. And it's about a guy named Paul, played by Timothée Chalamet, who's the son of a duke on this planet in outer space in the future. And he's schooled by his mom to be able to use a sword. And they're going to land on this planet covered with sand, with giant, humongous snakes that live under the sand. Anyway, it's a very famous book. And he plays the role, like he's in one of their myths and his dreams appear. It was a very interesting story. I read the book when I was like 12 or 13 years old. Anyway, so when I went, there were people lined up outside holding up giant posters and signs saying Dune on it. And do you have a ticket? And a guy actually come up to me saying, sir, do you have an extra ticket? I can buy it from you, whatever you want. I said, no, sorry, I'm only given one as the press. But, you know, there's going to be more showings of it. And he goes, but I'm leaving your country in the morning. Please, sir, don't you have another? It felt like Oliver Twist, and I was the bumble not giving him the extra bowl of gruel. He says, can't you please? But there was nothing I could do about it.
Right.
Anyway, then I went inside and sat in the Cinesphere, and in addition to the empty seats that are around the people, there were rows of empty seats because they didn't give out rush tickets or anything like that. And I felt so bad. These like heavy-duty fans who were dying to see it weren't allowed in just because of the weird rules they have this year.
Have you seen the David Lynch version from the 80s?
I heard it was terrible.
Yeah.
So this one was, I have to say, it was visually outstanding. And it was very accurate to the book, from as far as I remember. And just the images, these brutalist architecture, like in these like cement spaceships floating around and palaces and the costumes, everything. It never went over. It was never wrong. It was like so right. And the acting was great and these memorable scenes and stuff. But I got to say, there was no heart in that movie. I think Villeneuve is a cold fish. He has no soul. I mean, that's a horrible thing to say, but the movie is beautiful to watch. Like I recommend it. It was great to watch, but it didn't move me one little bit.
I feel like it's been exciting as a Canadian watching his career going up and up and up. Was there comparisons to be made to Arrival, his movie about Alien?
But Arrival, that was passionate. I felt for the lead character. This it was more like a sword and sandal movie. You know, it just didn't, I don't know why. I stayed interested the whole time, but it didn't move me. Like, didn't bring the tears. Didn't, wow. No tear jerking. What else did you like?
Well, a very funny film, like laugh out, almost fall off your chair funny, was Official Competition, and that is Penelope Cruz's movie with Antonio Banderas. It's a Spanish movie, but you'll remember this by Penelope Cruz's wig. It is up there with Javier Bardem's wig in No Country for Old Men.
Uh-huh.
Just a crazy big poodle fro. She's hilarious. It's about making a movie with Banderas. She's sort of directing it.
So it's a movie about a movie.
Yeah, it was great.
And is it also, because what's the title again?
Official Competition.
Official Competition. Was it in, like, at a film festival or a comp, or like Oscars or?
No, it was this millionaire wanted to do something with his money, and he decided out of the blue he would just finance a film. And I guess both actors are in it for their potential award season impact.
Right, right. So it's Oscar bait.
Oh, for sure.
And a movie about Oscar bait.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Two movies I really liked were both set in England between World War I and World War II. One was Mothering Sunday, directed by Eva Husson and based on the novel by Graham Swift. And it's about a housemaid who is Jane Fairchild. Apparently that's what they name orphans when they're left on the steps of an orphanage. So she'd been raised in an orphanage and she works as a housemaid for an upper middle class family. And every Sunday, her bosses leave her the day off. So this is called Mothering Sunday. And on that day, she's having this torrid, explicit sexual affair with a young man who happens to be the son of another upper middle class family with a maid who meets this family to go on a picnic every Sunday. And that's when the two of them have sex. So it's played by... the lead role is played by Odessa Young, who I'm not familiar with. I haven't seen her before. She was outstanding.
Really?
She was really, really good.
Wow.
Yeah. And the movie itself starts out kind of slow, drags a little bit. I'm thinking, what's going on? And then, well, first of all, like when they have this sort of a breakup and she's given free reign of his mansion, of his house while he's gone. So it's her basically... a maid, but allowed to walk around naked doing whatever she wants in this mansion that she doesn't have to clean up after herself. But anyway, further on in the movie, about two-thirds of the way through, there is such a shock that raises the value of this movie 100%. By the end, you're going, oh my God, wow. Really great movie. Doesn't start out promising, and then when you get into it, oh my God, really good movie. And one other movie I saw, Step Between the Wars, is Benediction, written and directed by Terrence Davies. It's about the life and loves of Siegfried Sassoon, who's played by Jack Loudon, an upper-class poet whose descriptions of World War I, he was a lieutenant in the trenches during the war, make him very famous, but he's also struggling with his sexuality. He's bisexual or gay, and he eventually gets married and has a son. But the movie follows before all that when he's having these relationships with various famous men he meets along the way that he falls in and out of love with. But what's so good is, like all of Terrence Davies' movies, is the joy of his precise and clever, and in this case, biting dialogue. The script is so good. It's interspersed with the actual poetry that Sassoon wrote, and his movies always have people breaking into song for some reason.
Uh-huh.
But that's one of his trademarks. And the magnificent photography. And there's scenes where the actor is standing there, and instead of being on set, the newsreels from the period are projected behind him. So it is a little bit impressionistic. But anyway, great acting all around. This is a really, really good movie. Yeah. So any other movies that really struck you?
Well, A Hero is a foreign film based... the director, he did a movie called A Separation a few years ago. And it's about a man who's in jail for...
Is this the Iranian-French director?
Yes.
Yeah, Farhani or... No.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay.
He's in jail for defaulting on a loan. And while he's out on, you know, on leave, he comes across a big pile of gold coins. And rather, you'd think someone who's, you know, being punished for money would keep the coins. But rather than he goes through a great ordeal to try to get the money back. And through that, it snowballs out of control. Lots of crazy things start happening. So that was a wonderful film. The director was really intelligent, very tasteful, and very rewarding as well.
Okay, that about winds it up. We've been talking about TIFF 21, and I've been talking with Jeff Harris. And so be sure to look out for his TIFF talk, that's T-O-K, on TikTok, covering 30 TIFF movies, reviews in 30 days. And if you're listening to this on Saturday, it continues through the evening, so there's still a chance to see a TIFF movie. Thanks so much for listening. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.